Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution. Hello, and welcome to ID the Future. What happens to morality when the world has no meaning? In this fourth and final part of a series of podcasts, Discovery Institute fellow Paul Nelson interviews Rabbi Moshe Avrick, who discusses his new book, Nonsense of a High Order, The Confused and Illusory World of the Atheist.
Talking about within a few decades of Darwin, you had this first great atheistic ideology was born, communism, which of course, you know, spawned the greatest mass murders so far in the history of mankind. Now, it could be the Iranians outdo them, or they get nuclear bombs. I'm not saying that, you know, that's, you know, you could be a wacko religious person and kill a lot of people too. But so far, the atheists, communists are on the top of the heap in terms of mass murder. You know, Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong, Pol Pot. And when you ask, so how do you deal with it? So you want to say religion was bad, but atheism was even worse. So as bizarre as it seems, instead of honestly confronting, because I don't know, it's a good question, which is a good question. So I remember watching this tape of Bill Maher discussing it. He says, oh no, communism is like a religion. That's what he said. It's like a religion. That's why it's bad. It's like a religion. What an answer. And this is a, you know, and boy, there's a man with a mind like a steel trap. Oh boy.
Well, my own view on this question is the propensity of humans to do bad things to each other. It's part of our fallen state that we inflict murder and terrible crimes on each other. And the chapters in the history of Western religion, I'll lay aside, because I don't really know anything about Eastern religion. There are plenty of things that I want to cover my face in shame.
Right.
But that by itself does not discredit the truth of theism.
Right.
I would have to say you were a few moments ago were defending the good parts of skepticism. Let me say that the misuse of an idea, I think the Bolsheviks misused the ideas of Darwin, doesn't by itself count against the idea. The problem is that if the root view, let's say, of Darwinian theory or the root view of Marxist theory is a fundamentally misconceived understanding of reality, bad things will follow from that.
Right.
They will. Like night follows day. I did my PhD working with evolutionary biologists whom I came to love very dearly. And they were wonderful men who loved their families and you know, paid their taxes and so forth. So I don't want either of us to be in the position of discrediting Darwin because of how his ideas may have been misused. I will say, though, that if you have an erroneous understanding of reality and you use that in a way that causes you to mistreat other people,
right?
That then I would say is a consequence of your mistaken understanding.
Right.
So I mean, there are some nuances to be teased apart here, but anyway, in part four, you address the nature of morality. What's the central issue here in your understanding?
The central issue is that, and I'm certainly not the first person to say it, is that if you start from the idea that we are simply, you know, advanced animals, then our values are worth exactly the same thing as the values of the jungle. In other words, we are to a dolphin what a dolphin is to a cuttlefish, that's all. And to talk about human values as if they're significant is, like you were saying, it's just not reality. They aren't significant. They mean as much as you want them to mean. Everybody understands that when a lion kills a zebra, it hasn't done anything right or wrong. That's, you know, that's the way things are.
That's what lions do.
That's what lions do. And, you know, and nobody would put this lion on trial. You know, this is what a bad lion. It's ridiculous. If we are animals, then why is it different? In other words, the honest atheist, the intellectually honest atheist, and I've met people who have admitted it, understands that morality is a word. It's not a concept that has any meaning or any depth or any significance. It's a word that you use to describe those types of values that you enjoy living by or your society enjoys living by. I have a quote there from Samuel Butler where he says, morality is the custom of one's country and the feelings of one's peers cannibalism is moral in a cannibalistic country. That's the way it is, you know. And if they kill babies, if they're committed infanticide, then that's the morality. It's just a word. If we are animals, it doesn't really mean anything. So that's the central idea. Obviously, believing in God does not guarantee sainthood. Hello, read the Bible. It's pretty clear. These, you know, in fact, having Moses right there who speaks to God is no guarantee that you're going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
So that notion becomes silly. You know, sometimes people get the idea, oh, you mean, well, how come the religious people who do bad? I mean, come on. I mean, that's human nature.
Yeah.
Because you believe in God is no guarantee you're going to do what's right. However, at least there's a rational and meaningful foundation for doing what's good. That's what really it's all about. And if you really believe that we are highly evolved bacteria, that doesn't mean you're going to be like Joseph Stalin. I remember when I spoke to the Secular Student Association at Elmhurst College, and one of the girls made it, the religious people say we're all like Joseph Stalin. You know, if I thought they were Joseph, I wouldn't walk in the room with them. But in other words, just because you profess not to believe in God doesn't mean you're going to be like Joseph Stalin. But what it means is that there is no real difference between the way you live and the way Joseph Stalin lives. He had his way of doing things, and you have your way of doing things. And even stronger, there's this, it's a little bit chilling. There's an interview with Jeffrey Dahmer when he was in prison, and he said it straight up. Now, in prison, supposedly he said that he embraced Christianity. I'm not an expert on Jeffrey Dahmer, but what he did say is that, look, I believe that in evolution, I believe we all came from the slime. What reason did I have to put my behavior in line with what society wanted? Why did they have the right to tell me what to do? And that's a logical position. It's a reasonable position. It doesn't mean that if you believe in evolution, you're going to do what he did. But you can't condemn it, and you can't say it doesn't make sense. That's all. You can say you don't like it.
Yeah.
But that's just pragmatism. So what? Yeah.
I once had a discussion with a professor at the University of Chicago who was an advocate of evolutionary ethics. And I won't name the person, it was a private discussion, but I said to him, what is there in The Origin of Species that would give someone grounds for telling Hitler, don't do what you intend to do? And he was an honest guy. And he said, well, really, there is nothing. If you see your kin group in a certain way, having certain boundaries, then individuals outside your kin group are not entitled to the moral status of those inside your kin group. And in fact, if you look at the legislation of the Nuremberg laws, those laws that the Nazis were meticulous to pass in the early 30s.
And it was all legal. That's the main
thing. It was all legal, and they carefully defined the Jews and the Gypsies and others outside of those to whom moral status was accorded. That, to me, is, I think, the consequence that you've really put your finger on, that you take away the stop, you take away the break, you take away the framework, and it becomes then really a matter of happenstance whether one is Joseph Stalin or this nice young woman in Elmhurst College.
Right.
She's lost her grounds really to condemn the actions of someone like Stalin.
Right.
It's the biggest thug principle. He was the biggest thug, and he got to the top, and he did as he pleased, and so forth, you know. But there really weren't any breaks.
Well, the way that I put it in the book that I felt, I hope that really people would understand is that if we are animals, that we live in sort of the human jungle, that's all. It's the human, sophisticated jungle. And like any other jungle, you've got the animals of prey. You've got the jackals, the lions, the leopards. That's Joseph Stalin. That's Mao Zedong. They were they're the animals of prey, the humans of prey. And on the other hand, you have some people, you know, cows are very gentle. You have beagles. You know, Christopher Hitchens is like a cow. Richard Dawkins, he's like a goat. Sam Harris is like one of the little field mice running around. And then the owl will swoop down and eats them. That's like the fact that you don't believe, you know, that's their nature, you know. Some people like them this way. You know, the nature of the jackal is to do what he does, and the nature of the goat is to do what he does. He doesn't bother anybody, you know. So a beagle doesn't bother, but a beagle is not moral. He's just, that's the way he is.
That's right.
And a jackal's not immoral.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, when the lion, we talked about the lion chasing down the zebra, there's no question that subjectively that zebra does not want to get eaten. He's running. That's why he's running. But the fact that he doesn't want to get eaten does not make what the lion is doing immoral.
That's right.
It doesn't have any effect. Okay, he doesn't want to get eaten, but the lion wants to eat. Okay, whoever wins, wins. That's all. And that's the way a jungle, and that's the way the animal world is. Any case, yeah.
You know, T.H. Huxley saw this very clearly in the late 19th century, and because he saw it clearly, he threw in a gulf, if you will, a chasm between the natural world and the human world, because he understood morality to require a foundation, a framework that's independent of the natural order, right, in order for us to even to begin to make sense of it. And actually, in this century, George Williams, a great evolutionary theorist at the State University of New York, had the same view. He said, Mother Nature is a wicked old witch. And really, from the natural order, one can justify anything. Right. Infanticide, slavery, genocide, you name it. You can find a natural model for anything that you wish to do. My hope is that some of the new atheists would think a little more clearly about this, and without the rose-colored glasses of liberal democracy,
right,
you know, or to put it another way, sort of drafting on the fumes of the Christian worldview, you know,
right, exactly,
which frankly, much of
they're kind of living off of that. That's what it is.
Well, I think in Europe, the welfare democracies of Europe are drafting off their Christian heritage, right, or their, to be somewhat more broad, their theistic heritage.
Right.
Claire Berlinski, wonderful writer who had a book a couple of years ago, Menace in Europe, said, the EU is a bureaucracy. It has no spiritual core. And she said, in the competition between a bureaucracy and Islam, she said, I'm putting my money on Islam.
That's right, because they have passion. They believe in what they're doing.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, that's what happens is that eventually, even the sort of the nice, like Sweden type atheists, they turn into lotus eaters, and then when the barbarians come, they just get swept away. That's what's going to happen. I mean, that's what is happening. I got to say one thing. You know, you said about this sort of rose-colored glasses, the inimitable David Berlinski in his book. So he talks about, he quotes Richard Dawkins, who says maybe I'm being a little Pollyannish when I think that people would be able to police themselves without, you know, God watching over them. And Berlinski says, he says, we should, people can't police themselves without police. Forget about without God.
That concludes Discovery Institute fellow Paul Nelson's interview with Rabbi Moshe Averick, author of Nonsense of a High Order, The Confused and Illusory World of the Atheist. For ID the Future, this is Annika Smith, the CSC in Seattle. Thanks for listening. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.